Good morning, everyone. I'm glad to see you here today. And if you're visiting with us, we especially welcome you. You honor us to be among us, and we're glad you are here. And we hope that you will sense that God himself is among us as we look at his word together. If you have a Bible, please turn with me to Joshua chapter 1, the Old Testament book Joshua and chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, beginning in verse 6. Hear now the word of God himself. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Let's pray together. Our Lord Jesus, we've heard these words that were spoken to Joshua. We know your name is Joshua. We come before you knowing that these words must be special to you, knowing that you are the one who fulfills all that Joshua's life stood for, all that he accomplished. And yet we are here in this day, in the 21st century, and we know that we live in a very different world. And so we come to you now asking you to take this word given so long ago and bring it into our lives. Send Holy Spirit to us, Lord, that we may understand how these precious words apply to us. We want to know you. We want to be strengthened and encouraged by your word. And so bring them to us. And as you do, Lord, we will give you the thanks and we will give you the praise for it. Amen. A friend of mine told me that last year when his 18-year-old son was applying to different colleges and universities, he was so excited with all the anticipation of where he might go and what might happen that he said at one point, "Oh, I wish I just had a crystal ball. I wish I just could tell what the future was going to be." And his dad looked at him and said, "Oh, son, if you knew what the future was, you'd be so discouraged, you'd throw in the towel." You can kind of understand that, can't you? A young man, 18 years old, when he thinks about the future, he's thinking about all the possibilities that are out there. Where am I going to go to school? Who am I going to marry? How happy am I going to be? How much money am I going to make? Oh, isn't life going to be grand? If I just knew how it was going to turn out, that would make it so exciting. But you can also understand how an older man would think about the future and sort of go, "Well, I'm not so sure I want to know what's around the corner. I've been around there and I've seen it, and it's not all that wonderful. Full of challenges, full of hardships, full of trials and troubles." And I guess that somewhere in the middle is the truth, isn't it? Somewhere between being enthusiastic about the future and being realistic about the future. And that's the way it must have been in Joshua's day. We just read this passage from the first chapter of Joshua where God is speaking to the leader of the people of Israel. You'll remember that Joshua was a protege of Moses, and that Moses had brought the people of Israel right to the border of the promised land. But at that point, he had to hand it all off to Joshua. And Joshua is looking and actually physically staring at the promised land that God had sworn to give to them, and he knows what's over there. He knows that, yes, there's a bright future, but at the same time, he knows what those grand cities looked like. He had been a spy. He had gone into that land. He had seen those cities. He had seen those armies, and he knew that the future held huge challenges. And so for this reason, apparently from this passage, Joshua had a little bit of misgiving about all of this. He felt a little discouraged, a little weakened by the reality of the future as he looked out and saw what was coming. And so in this passage, God says to Joshua three times, he says, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Now, this was not God giving Joshua a mantra that he could stick up on his bathroom mirror and read every morning and say, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous. I can do it, I can do it, I can do it. No, that's not what God's doing. He doesn't repeat it three times so that Joshua will somehow whip up the energy inside of himself to be able to face the future. Instead, God says it three times because he directs Joshua's attention toward three different things or three different ways in which he can have the kind of strength and the kind of courage he needed for his future. Now, if you know the Bible story, you know that what Joshua is about to do is to wage war. And this was not an ordinary war. It was a miracle war. It was a very supernatural war. So don't think of this along the lines of normal geopolitical warfare. But at the same time, it was a physical war. There were spiritual things going on while the physical battles were going on too. And you might wonder, well, what connection does that have to do with me? What's that got to do with the Christian life today? Well, the New Testament tells us that at this time, between the first and second comings of Christ, the spiritual battles are still going on. And you are involved in those spiritual battles. And the physical dimension will only reappear for us when Jesus returns in glory at the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. But just because we call them spiritual doesn't mean they're not real. I mean, think about your life and the struggles that are in your life. And if you know anything from the past, you know that in your future there are Jerichos staring at you with invincible walls. You know that there are challenges ahead of you. Some of you know that your marriages face significant challenges in the future. You know that you are struggling with what the future holds for your children. You know that you are struggling. If nothing else, you know you face these enormous cities that you must conquer called sickness and death. And that's enough to discourage anybody from thinking about the future. So perhaps as we hear God tell Joshua, be strong and courageous, we can find in our own Christian wars, our own Christian struggles, how we can have strength and courage too. And I know you well enough to know that you need it. I mentioned that God said three different things to Joshua here, and the first thing appears in verse 6. Read with me again, verse 6. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Here God reminds Joshua of something. He reminds him that in the days of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, that God himself had taken an oath. He didn't simply say, I'm going to give you something. He swore that he would give him something. And what was that something? It was the land of Canaan, the promised land. And we always need to remind ourselves that in the Old Testament, when they talk about the promised land, that this real estate was simply the beginning of something that was going to be much larger. Because from the time Israel received this land, they were to then use that as a starting point for spreading the wonders of God's grace to the ends of the earth. In fact, the New Testament tells us in the book of Romans that Abraham and his seed Jesus were not just promised a little piece of land, they were promised the inheritance of the entire earth. This is just the beginning point. God is promising Joshua something enormous here. And he's telling him, you can be strong and courageous because you know me. That no matter what you face, no matter what struggles are out there, you can trust in me. Now, some of you are old enough to remember when a man was as good as his word. Do you remember those days? That if you spoke to someone, made an agreement, and you shook on it and looked each other in the eye, you knew with great confidence that you could trust that person to carry through with what they said. It was a matter of honor. It was just a matter of convention that we could trust each other that way. But nowadays, we know we can't do that at all. I mean, I don't care how many young people say word, taking an oath that their word is good, you know you can't trust it anymore. I mean, does anyone in here trust the politicians? Stand up if you do, please, because I can't believe that you do. I mean, we hear them make promises, crazy promises sometimes, from the left to the right. We hear them say things like, read my lips, no new taxes. And then what happens the next week? New taxes. We hear them tell us things like, don't worry about it, they're not going to be any earmarks anymore. I promise. And what do we have? Earmarks. We know that politicians simply make promises to get people to vote for them and to like them, and they apparently have very little intention of keeping those promises. And when the leaders of a nation do this, it seeps into all of society, so that now, even in a local church, even in the same church where you have two Christian people who love Christ, they're not about to make a financial deal without all kinds of contracts, without lawyers looking at the contracts, working them all out, making sure everything's signed in triplicate and put in some lockbox somewhere. What a terrible world we live in when you can't trust anyone. But I have some good news for you. Maybe you're here, and you're a person who wonders, yeah, in this kind of world, what can you possibly trust? Whose word can you possibly rely upon? Well, God is saying here to Joshua, you can rely on me. I'm the one who made everything. I am good. I have your best interest in mind, and I have sworn that you will receive the land. Now, you and I live in a position, in history, that's even greater than Joshua's. Because not only did God affirm this and accomplish this for Joshua, he gave him the land, but we live even beyond that, to the point that God confirmed his promise that his people would one day inherit the entire world. And he confirmed it by Jesus' life on this planet. He confirmed it by Jesus dying on the cross to secure and make sure that you and I would not have to pay for our sins. And he confirmed it by Jesus rising from the dead and ascending into heaven and reigning over all things and right before our eyes, transforming the earth into the kingdom of God. We have good reason to trust in God. I told you last week that I was going to have a debate with Muslim and an imam and a rabbi at the University of North Carolina, and that did happen, and we're trying to get the recording, trying to wrestle it from the Muslims' hands so that we can put it on the web. But one of the things that came up in that debate was how the best that the Muslim could offer was the possibility of salvation, the possibility of paradise. He said, everyone must try. Everyone must work hard to be good and to try to serve God as much as possible. Now we're all going to fail, he admitted. And when you come to the judgment seat of God, you will stand there, and he didn't use these words, but in effect, cross your fingers and hope that God might have mercy on you. How much courage and strength do you get from that? The answer is none. Well, here's the good news of the Christian faith. Because Jesus was so good and so approved by God, that if you put your faith in him, you can be absolutely confident, absolutely assured that God will not break his word, that he will give you an eternal inheritance in the new heavens and new earth. And so, when the troubles come, when the stumbling occurs, when you face the Jerichos that are out there in everyone's life, you know that in the end, you will be the victor. Now, what kind of religion do you want? The kind that says, cross your fingers and hope? Or the kind that says, you can be sure? God is saying to Joshua, Joshua, listen to me. I have given you my word. Be strong and courageous. Trust me. But you remember that God didn't say this just once to Joshua. He said it a second time. Look again at verse 7. be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go." God had not simply given Joshua a promise. He had also given Joshua a guidebook on how to wage this war. Now, I'm sure that as Joshua looked at the law of Moses, and as he read it, a lot of the things that Moses had written down by inspiration from God, I'm sure a lot of those things made sense to him. I mean, things like don't steal, don't murder, things like that. All of us, when we hear those things, we go, yeah, that makes sense. I mean, that would not make for a very good life. And a lot of us, when we read the Bible as a whole now, this thing that is like the law of Moses to us, we read it and we find things in it that make good common sense. And when we see those things, we are ready to follow them. And we know that if we follow them, we will be successful wherever we go. Certainly is true. Think about it this way. Maybe before you became a follower of Christ, you were an alcoholic and you saw your life falling to pieces. And so you come to Christ and you determine that now you're going to obey God's word and you're going to live in the joy of sobriety. Well, that was a good thing. And it made your life better. Perhaps you found that being faithful in marriage is better than being unfaithful in marriage. Maybe you found that following the Bible on raising children has made them better than they would have been before. But the reality is this. The Bible does not simply tell us things that make good common sense. And Joshua had to face that reality in his day too. Very dramatically. Remember, he's about to face a war. And he's about to face a war against great enemies. And these great enemies had all kinds of war machinery. And the law of Moses actually told Joshua that he could not have the up-to-date weaponry of his day. Oh, they had steel iron chariots. They had catapults in those days. They had ramparts and all kinds of machines to knock down walls and things like that. And God says to Joshua, you can't have them. In his word, in his law, he says, I want you to fight this war, Joshua, with one hand tied behind your back, with a little sword, maybe a shield, and with some slingshots. How's that sound to you, Joshua? Well, if Joshua had any common sense at all, he knew that wasn't the way to fight a war. And so, naturally, he would be frightened and be discouraged facing his future. And that's the way it is for you and me. You and I have to be the kinds of people who understand that God knows how the struggles of life are to be waged and accomplished better than we do. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm the kind of person that absolutely hates instruction manuals. Do you feel that way about them? I mean, if I get a software package, the last thing I'm going to do is read the manual. If I get a new car or something like that, the last thing I'm going to do is read the manual. I can figure this out on my own. Even as a child, I was that way. I used to love to make model cars, and I would never read the instructions, and so I'd put the model car together, and then at the end, I'd end up having to paint the interior through the windows of the little car. And I could never figure out why the other kids' interiors looked so nice and mine looked so messy. Well, hello. You're supposed to paint the interior before you put the top on. And if you do that, if you follow the instructions, then your car looks really nice. And mine always looked like I painted through the windows. That's the way life is. As a child, I didn't understand that the manufacturer might know a little more about how to put a model car together than I did. Have you ever thought to yourself, maybe the one who made the universe, just maybe the one who sustains the universe, knows a little more than you and I do about how to live in his universe? Even when he tells you to tie one hand behind your back and to do things that don't seem very commonsensical? I mean, we live in a day right now where a lot of us are facing economic hardship. And you know the temptation that comes with that. The temptation is to, well, just fudge a little bit here. fudge a little bit there. All in the name of common sense. All in the name of doing what's reasonable. We even do things like, well, you know, God will understand. I'm just not making as much money as I did last year, so when I don't give offerings to the church, that, he'll understand that. It's only reasonable. Or, you know, my life is busy, so, you know, to be involved in the things of the church, well, God understands those kinds of things. We use our common sense, what we think is common sense, sometimes even when the Bible tells us to do just the opposite, because we are just not ready to obey the word of God, and we are willing to turn to the left and the right when it doesn't make sense to us. And woe to us when we do. Because just as in Joshua's day, the answer for how to live your life is not a guess. It's found in the Word. And the Word of God is sure and true because He's the manufacturer of your life and of the world. And even if it doesn't make sense to you and me, we can be sure of success. We can be sure that we will succeed in the battles of life if we do not turn to the left or right. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to read the instruction manual and find out how life is to be lived? And live it even when it doesn't seem to make sense to you and me? If you're willing to do that, do you know what you can do? You can face the future with strength and courage because you know you're doing it the way God wants you to do it. But as the Lord spoke to Joshua, he didn't just remind him of his great promises and how sure they are. And he didn't just remind him of how true his word is and how reliable it is. He also spoke to Joshua about a third way, a third reason for having strength and courage as you face the future. Listen to what he says, beginning in verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. These words sound a lot like Jesus' words at the Great Commission. Do you remember that? When he sent his disciples to the ends of the earth, he said at the end of it, he said, and lo, I will always be with you. I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. I'll be with you. Oh, yeah, I'm sending you out, disciples of Jesus, not just to the promised land. I'm sending you to the whole world. But don't worry, I'll be with you the whole time. These are supposed to be words that assure us and give us confidence about the future. And in Joshua's day, this meant something rather specific. To have God with him meant that he had the priests there with him. He had the tabernacle there with him. He had a place where he could go to pray and to experience the things of God. He had the Ark of the Covenant. He had the experience of God. This was not some theory for him. He was not thinking, you know, oh yes, I guess that's true. God is omnipresent and he's with me everywhere I go. No, that's not it. What he was thinking in terms of was, oh yeah, that's right. I've got the tabernacle. Oh, that's right. I've got the place where I can experience God in prayer and worship. I've got opportunity to come right into the holy presence of God. And so it is for you and me today. You simply will not have the kind of strength and courage it takes to face the future if you do not also have the experience of the presence of God. And by that I mean that you have such dramatic encounters with the Holy One of Israel that you never could possibly deny that that was the truth. I mean, some of you here who are followers of Christ, you know what I'm talking about. You know that at some point in your life, maybe many points in your life, you've had these experiences of the presence of God that you just simply can't deny. You may not be able to explain them. You may not be able to put them into words, but you know that God was with you at that moment in a way that was overwhelming. Without that happening in your life, the future does not bode well. The future is frightening. The future is terrifying. And so God says to Joshua, Joshua, you have got to come into my presence and know experientially that I am with you wherever you go. Once I was at the swimming pool with my daughter when she was about 7 years old, and there was another girl about the same age who was sitting with her dad on the other side of the pool, and all the big kids were going off the high dive, and you know what that's like. They make a long line of all the teenagers there, and apparently, I wasn't close enough to hear what they said, but apparently the little seven-year-old wanted to go and on the high dive too, so her dad elbowed her and encouraged her to do it, and she did. She got in the line, you know, 16, 15, 14, 7-year-old, 15, 14, 16, that kind of thing. And of course, as she got closer and closer, you could see the teenagers around her sort of giggling and elbowing each other too, sort of, yeah, here goes the 7-year-old. But she was very brave, and she climbed up the ladder at her turn, and she walked out to the end of the diving board. And when she did, she was walking out like this, and she got to the end, looked down, and she went, she couldn't believe it was that high up there. She didn't know that it was going to be that scary, and she was so terrified by the prospect of jumping off into the water that she actually turned around and made the teenagers climb down the ladder and let her go back to her dad. And of course, she went back crying, weeping. He put his arm around her. Now, I don't know exactly what he said to her, but it was something like this. A few minutes later, he talked her into trying again. But apparently what he said was, go ahead, try it again, because when you get up there, I'll get in the water. It'll be okay. And so she stood in line again, and by this time the whole pool is watching because the little girl made such a scene the first time. And her turn came, and she climbed up the ladder. This time she wasn't smiling so brightly. She was a little more realistic about the future, but she walked out to the end of that diving board, and she looked down. It was still just as high. It was still scary. And her dad got off the edge of the pool and just barely into the water. And when he did, she did this, like that. So he got in a little bit further. And she went like this, and he got in a little bit further, and she went right there. She knew exactly where she wanted him. She wanted him right there. Now, I sort of expected, and I'm sure her father did too, that she would just kind of jump off the edge and fall into the water, and he'd be there. But instead, she went back on the diving board and ran out, went flying out, and landed right on top of him. And they both nearly drowned, and the lifeguards threw him out. So it wasn't a happy ending. But let me just ask you this question. What made the difference for that little girl? What made the difference? The diving board didn't get shorter. The future was not less formidable. You know the difference. It was not that her daddy had said, theoretically, I'll be in the water, sweetie. I'll take care of it. It wasn't even some mild experience of that, where if he got in the water just a little bit, then she's okay. No, she had to know with her own eyes and from her own experience that if she jumped, her daddy would be right there, and if anything bad happened, he would take care of it. Do you wonder why you're discouraged about the future? Do you wonder why the future may frighten you? If you have been apart from the presence of God in your life, that overwhelming, dramatic assurance of his nearness to you, it's no wonder that the future scares you. But can you remember the times in the past, maybe it was a long time ago, when you faced something that you thought you just could not manage, and you whispered, Jesus, please be with me, and you felt, and I mean felt, his arm come around you, and it gave you courage beyond anything that was natural. Can you remember those times? If it's been a long time, you need to have it again. This is the way of courage and strength. As Joshua faced this impossible battle before him, God said to him, be strong and courageous for your future. You can do it. It's no problem. If you will just trust me as the one who makes sure promises, if you'll just trust my word even when it doesn't make sense and follow it, and if you will experience me in your life, then you can be strong and courageous. Let's pray together. Our Lord Jesus, we bless you and we honor you that you have not left us without hope. that we don't have to be afraid of the future. We bless you and honor you, Lord, that we can be realistic about it and at the same time have strength and courage. Grant to us, by the power of your Spirit, that these things be written in our hearts so that we never forget them, that you may be praised and your kingdom furthered. Amen.